This Do Lectures episode features co-founder of the Tribe of Traders and Digital Bra, Judy Van Nieuwkerk, recorded live at the global event in Cardigan, West Wales in 2019.
I want to start with that. I'd rather have the whole world against me than my own soul. I would like you just to think about that for a moment. What does it bring up for you? What does it make you feel? How does it make you feel? What thoughts are coming to your head? Is it fear? Is it terror? Is it hell yes? I live by that. And to me, that means a sense of empowerment. That's where you are truly empowered. That's where you love yourself, warts and all. That's where everything happens. That's where miracles happen in your life. That's where you live on purpose. I would rather have the whole world against me than my own soul. But it wasn't always like that. Some years ago, I thought it was the other way around. I thought I had to fit in with life. I thought I had to be accepted. I thought purpose came from outside. I thought acceptance came from outside, not from within. And the more I thought that, the more I believed that, the more I drove myself crazy. I became a pilot. I was a competitive water skier. I was a competitive pilot. I was a competitive paragliding pilot. I was a competitive motorcycle racer. I couldn't do enough. I couldn't get enough accolades. I couldn't reach high enough levels of achievement. And there was just this empty well of emptiness. And nothing would fulfill it. And on the outside, I had a life that was idyllic. Like at the end of work in Cape Town, I go and take a flight off Table Mountain, land by the beach, pack up my glider, go around the corner, scuba dive. I represent South Africa, world champions of scuba diving. Scuba diving, that's another story. But and then I go partying. It was a life of, on the outside, the people envied. It was a heaven. But inside, I was in hell. I was in absolute hell. And the more I searched for that well to be filled, it's like the proverbial bucket that has a hole in it, that just water just keeps leaking out. It was just couldn't fill me. And I just started doing more and more extreme sports, taking extreme sports to a whole new level. I'd take off at Table Mountain and the pilots would disappear. Judy's in the air. So it would literally be, I was extreme in everything that I did. That wasn't enough. Didn't fill the well. Started taking overdoses. So I used to take lists of doctors in around Cape Town, and I would go to them. Normally it would take two or three doctors, and I'd get my quota of pills, and I would tell them, I want Ativan, Xanax, Rohypnol. This is how many I'd need. Some would give me 3 months' supply, some would give me 2 weeks or a month's supply, depending. And I would go and take an overdose. Not that I wanted to die. It was just I had to calm this craziness in my head. Because this well of fulfillment just wasn't getting filled. Until that last overdose, I took about 8 or 9 in an 18-month period. Sometimes I was lucky, I got my stomach pumped, sometimes not, so it was touch and go whether I'd live. But until the last one, when I was taking the pills, I'd have them all in a packet, and I would stand in front of a mirror and I would take them in handfuls. And I was standing in front of a mirror, and my body wanted to reject it. Reject these pills. And I said, stuff it, I've got a strong mind. You've made up your mind. I used to tell my best friend, Tiny, at the time, that I was going to be taking another dose. And the wise sage that he is would say to me, hey, you know it's stupid, but you're going to do it anyways. There's nothing I can do to stop you. And sure enough, at that last one, I was taking the pills, and I wanted to not take them, but my head was saying, you've made up your mind, you're going to do it. I was woke up in ICU a few days later, and I knew that was the last time. I had an epiphany. And if it's okay with you, I'd love to share with you a story. Is it okay with you? I was born to dysfunctional parents. It's probably putting it mildly. I was sexually abused from when I was 3. I was deaf. I wasn't born deaf, I went deaf. And I was born deaf when I was 3 till I was about 12. Sexually abused from when I was 3 by my father. And I was locked up and used as a slave, literally in all forms of life, not just sexually. Raped almost daily, gang raped, and locked up from society. No schooling, no interaction with humanity or anything like that for many, many years. I was beaten regularly. I was made pregnant many times, a few times. I had the most brutal home abortions, beyond which you can even begin to imagine, and what you think it might be, it's not that. It's really brutal. I was stabbed. I would spend, sometimes these beatings would go on for 12 to 16 hours at a time. I was shot with a rifle, narrowly missing my heart. But here's the thing. During that time, I was connected with something that was so deep inside me that I actually was in heaven. It felt like I was in hell, but I was in heaven. Because I was connected to something bigger than me, greater than me, more than my mortal body. You can do what you like with my body, but you can't touch my spirit. No one could touch my spirit. I used to go to the bathroom and look in the mirror and try it. You'd be amazed at how it is for you. But I'd look in the mirror and I would look into my eyes. I wouldn't see my face, but I would see something deep inside. It was almost like I was putting my hand down into something inside of me. I called it my something at the time. I didn't know what it was. My greater self, my higher self, my spirit, my soul, whatever it was. But in that connection, there was actually peace, and there was joy, and there was a sense of life and hope and beauty. My life was hell, but inside I was in heaven. But inevitably, things had to go on. I tried to escape as I got older. And in my early 20s, I did escape one day successfully in the middle of the night. And I left to try and make a life for myself, to try and fit into society. Whilst I was growing up in that environment, the one great thing that my father did do was he would give me books. And when kids were normally studying or reading fairy tales, I was reading about finance, economics, business, what made the world go round. And when I got out and when I escaped, I wanted to be a trader. I wanted to work a stockbroking firm or merchant banking, something that contributed to the world. And I lied and cheated my way into a job, pretended and made up a whole life, a whole CV, and I got a job as an accountant in a trading floor. I was fired. I was fired from every other job I ever had. But be it as it may, I went. That was when I started realizing I've got to try and fit in. I've got to try and be normal. And this was this race against time to be normal, to fit in. And that's where I created this life of heaven, but inside I was hell because I'd lost touch with my soul, with this thing that's really what's important. I lost touch with that. Years later, I went back to Ireland with my then lover, Tiny, and reported my father, and it took years for it to be investigated. It eventually went to the High Court of Ireland, and I asked for the judge to be held outside out of camera, so public. Never been done before anywhere. So you can imagine, got a lot of publicity. And it was, as to quote the judge, it was the worst case of abuse he'd ever come across. And my father got 54 years for what he did. The other rapists were never apprehended. But he got 54 years. Now, I don't know why I did that at the time. You just say to me, why did I do that? I don't know. I was just following something that was greater than me. I was following an intuition. Now, he went to prison for 54 years. It wasn't going to give my childhood back. By being public about it, I thought something could be done about it. Some noise could be created. We could stop living in shame and fear and guilt, which is the lower vibrations that keep us from connecting with our soul, with our greater cause, with our greater purpose. So that is what I wanted to do. Roll on a few years. My best friend, who was my lover, is now my husband. I get a phone call from the police saying that he's been transferred from prison to a hospice. He was dying. Before I knew it, put down the phone, I was on a flight back to Ireland with Tiny. I had to see him. I had to see him. Don't know why. Now, just picture the scene. My husband wants to knock his fucking block off, right, for the tortures he's given me. So my Tiny has to come with me as a supportive husband, a lover, a friend. And he can't understand, why is it I want to go back and put myself in that same room with him, with everything that has been done? I didn't have the answer that I just knew it had to be done. When we got there, the social worker said to us, sorry, Tiny, you can't go in, he doesn't want to see you. The first thing my father said to me when I walked into the room was, how could you bring another man into our life? Be that as it may, 4, 5, 6 hours went by, I don't know. But a lot of walking, a lot of talking, a lot of coffee. And all I remember from that conversation that I had with him was saying to him, Dad, thank you. Thank you for everything. I love you. I was able to thank him for giving me the life that I had. Because I realized that any area of your life and you're not empowered, you will be overpowered. And what that gave me, what those experiences gave me as I journeyed back to connect with my soul after those overdoses, to connect with my soul, connect with the greater part of who I am beyond this mortal physical being, I found joy, happiness, inner peace beyond what you can imagine, to the point where I'm able to say, I'd rather have the whole world against me than my own soul. I was alarmed, I'll be honest with you, that I was able to say that. I didn't know where it came from. So it started me going back and examining and researching and studying and trying to figure out what is it? What is it that made me able to say that? And I was able to identify the fact that the challenges I experienced, I had a choice. I could succumb to it and let it be a series of obstacles that define me, that make me just subservient to them, subjugate myself to them, or I could actually take it, investigate it, and mine those challenges for the benefits and the greatness that it could make me. Because at that time, when you connect to that deep soul-seated part of you, anything can happen. That's where I learned to get into life. That's where I learned to be an accountant on the trading floor. That's where I learned to survive for myself. After being fired from every job I ever had, I had to go out and survive and create business with myself. Benefit of that was I needed to be empowered. It was the biggest void in my life became my biggest purpose, to be empowered and to take responsibility for everything in my life. I can't do that in a corporate where the corporate tells me what I'm worth every year. I get to decide that, being an entrepreneur. Then when I looked at it even more, I saw a look back over my life since I left him, and I saw all the different angles. Everything I did was about empowerment, everything, empowering myself and empowering others. I lobbied government, South African government, to change the law about protection of children and women. I created a whole new wine region in South Africa with government. We established a whole new wine region. And we, after years working and lobbying government, got them to work with me to plant vineyards on tribal land. 85% of the GDP of the Western Cape is the wine industry. Other parts of South Africa is abject poverty, where people are not living in houses, they're living in mud huts and they've got no running water. So we planted vineyards on these tribal lands, and now they've got cooperatives where they are now, it's now a thriving wine industry. I wouldn't be able to do that if I hadn't had the experiences that I had, because empowerment is everything. Being empowered in all areas of your life is everything, and I wouldn't have had that without the experiences that I had. I came up with this body of work, and I've been able to do what I call the three C's, the three C's trilogy, where you get to charge your challenges, you get to actually mine them, figure out why and what has happened to me that has been done for me, not to me. The universe is only love. But we put labels on everything. We judge it, good, bad. What if we just change the way in which we look at things and understand that everything in the universe is love? So therefore, where can I bring the love from my challenges? Where can I mine them? Now listen, don't get me wrong. The moment you're being frickin' raped or the moment you're getting diagnosed with disease or whatever it is, yeah, it's a challenge. And that's where your ego comes in. And that's where your fight or flight comes in. And it's appropriate to be somewhat overwhelmed in that moment. But later on, when you look back on it, you start mining it and looking at where was it served me? How did it serve me? Where was the perfection of it? How can I use that to powerfully propel my life? Then When you've done that, you start to capitalize your challenges, monetize them. And that's what I do. Every day, I monetize my challenges because I work with people all over the world to become financially empowered. It is my opinion that if you're overpowered, and if you're not empowered in any area of your life, you will be overpowered. If you're not empowered financially, you're not empowered in life. It's a sad fact of life. You can't get away from it. So I spend my life now, Tanya and I spend our life now, now we're business partners as well, we spend our life now empowering people financially. And I do that through the art of trading. Trading is the gift that keeps on giving. It's instant feedback. You can be right or you can be rich. You can't be both. And trading is a gift that you will know straight. Successful traders have mastery in the mindset. It's got nothing to do with the act of trading. Trading is simple. But mastering trading is all about mindset, the same as everything. The same as anything. As someone said yesterday, 90% in the mind and 10% mindset. It's 100%. Wealth building is the same. I can tell a trader straight away if they're going to be successful or not, depending on where they are in the mind. If you're not charging your challenges, you're going to be in the lower vibrations. You're going to be living in fear, guilt, and shame. Shift those perceptions. Start loving your challenges. Start unpacking your challenges. Start mining those challenges for the beauty and the gift and the love the universe has given you. And you start elevating your consciousness levels and you start increasing your self-worth. And there's a direct correlation between your self-worth and the money you have in your life. Money is nothing but the material manifestation of spirit. That is my purpose, and that is what I want to get out to everybody I can. Tanya and I have a mission. We want to get to 1 million people to millionaire status through trading. I'd rather have the whole world against me than my own soul. How do you feel about that? Thank you.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favourite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out.